fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat Thursday night 104-93 in Game 1 of the Best of 7 National Basketball Association Finals. The Nuggets cruise to a convincing victory in their maiden NBA Finals appearance. The AP's Bruce Morton reports from Denver, Colorado.
The Nuggets' NBA Finals debut was a 104-93 victory over the Heat. Denver coach Michael Malone said on this night, the difference was defense.
To hold that team to 93 points, only 40 from the field, 33 from the three-point line, which is below their 39% in the playoffs. And probably the most impressive defensive stat was only 2 free throw attempts.
Nikola Jokic dominated with a triple-double, 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 14 assists. As for the Nugget defense, Miami's Jimmy Butler was held to 13 points.
Got to get more layups, got to get more free throws. And whenever you miss and don't get back, the games get out of hand kind of quickly. We gave up too many layups, which we also can't have happen. But that's it as a whole. We got to attack the rim a lot more, myself included.
Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Game 2 is Sunday in Denver. Miami will try to regroup and make adjustments, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Whether it was the short turnaround, a disappointing performance, or the intensity of the Nuggets, the Heat dropped the opener 104-93. Miami coach Eric Spoelstra wasn't thrilled with the performance.
It's going to require more. We'll get to work and see what we can do better. What we can do harder, what we can do with more effort, what we can do with more focus.
Miami shot just 41% and took only 2 free throws. Haywood Highsmith was a bright spot off the bench with 18 points, and Bam Adebayo delivered team highs of 26 points and 13 rebounds. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Denver forward Aaron Gordon helped set the tone early for the Nuggets in Game 1. He pounded his way to the rim for 8 points in the first 6 minutes, and he had 14 of his 16 points by halftime. It sounds like Aaron was inspired by the high decibel crowd at Denver's Ball Arena.
It was beautiful. You know, I took a moment during the national anthem. I was like, wow, this is really the NBA Finals, and it's really, really cool. The crowd was in it from the start, give us that extra juice, and they've been awesome all year.
More NBA news. Boston Celtics president of basketball operations Brad Stevens says head coach Joe Mazzulla will return next season after guiding the Celtics to 57 wins and the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, despite a 7-game loss to the Miami Heat in the conference finals.
I thought he, again, did a really good job with this group. Everybody's going to overreact to the best players and coaches after every game. That's always the way it is.
VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. With the NBA Finals underway in Denver, let's continue our look back at the recent Men's Basketball Africa League Finals in Kigali, Rwanda. One of the scouts on hand in Kigali was Godwin Owinji. Godwin is the international scout for the Brooklyn Nets. Iron Mike and Bonye asked Godwin, what did you think of BAL Season 3 play?
Season 3 play is a huge improvement from last year and the previous years. The competitions were very intense and the games were very, very competitive. Although the finals didn't reflect how the other games went, because the finals was, you know, kind of, I wouldn't really say it's a blowout, but El Alil of Egypt led the whole way. Unlike the two semifinal games where it was a nail biter, very entertaining basketball. The level of basketball has gone up big time. Next year, I'm pretty sure the level will be higher than this year. Before you know it, the league will become a very bona fide league and a good feeder for the NBA.
As an international scout with the Brooklyn Nets, did you see players capable of being drafted to the NBA during the playoffs?
Yeah, while I was out there, the NBA Academy brought a team to Kigali. They played some of the local professional teams. I think they had about 5 games. They have this program called the Elevate Program, where they put one academy player on each team. We didn't really get to see most of the young academy kids that played for some of the BAL team that much. Only about 3 or 4 of them really had significant time on their teams. A good example would be the kid from South Sudan, 7'2 kid, 16 years old. He played for the Senegalese team that lost in the finals. So he played a lot on that team and showed his skills. And he's one of those kids that a lot of NBA teams are looking at. He doesn't get draft eligible until, I believe, 2025 or so. And then there's a Nigerian kid called Ruben. He played for, I believe, the Mali team. He played major minutes. And it's another kid that a lot of NBA teams are looking at as well. He actually already signed for Washington State University. So I believe in another month or so, he'll be heading to the U.S. to his new college team. There's a kid from Cameroon. His last name is Chomche. He's about 6'11". You know, all these kids that I'm mentioning, they're all at the academy. There are other teams that didn't even play any of their Elevate kid at all. So, you know, some of these academy teams that are playing for this BAL team through the Elevate program, you know, these are kids that a lot of NBA teams have already been following for the past couple of years, most especially my team. That's the one of the reasons why I'm there, for me to see them also play in the Elevate program, play in the professional league, play against grown men. To answer your question, yes, there are a bunch of kids in the academy that teams are looking at. There were more than 10 NBA teams that sent their scouts to this BAL finals.
Season 4 of the Basketball Africa League is scheduled for next year. Do you have any message for the organizers of the league on new innovations?
You know, there's always improvement, you know, anytime you start something new. And I believe the organizers are doing a great job so far in organizing this tournament. The one thing I would love for the organizations to do at these finals, you know, some team will just come out there, play quarterfinal games, or just one game. If they lose, that's it. You know, they had to go home. I wish they can come up with a system where in the finals, teams have to play at least 2 games or 3 games, you know, not coming in to play quarterfinals. And if you lose, you go home, you win, you continue to play. So wherever the teams are from, it's like, you know, you come to the finals, you play one game. Going home doesn't really, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. I don't think it fulfills the whole team traveling to the venue of the finals, only to go home the next day if they lost in the quarterfinals. I believe if they can come up with a system, at least that's going to generate more revenue for the organizers. If teams play more than one game, or, you know, play 2 games or 3 games. That's the one thing I think, you know, needs some tweaking. Apart from that, they're doing an excellent job. The way they have it right now, the Savannah region and the Nile region, my suggestion would be maybe they can add two more regions to it so that it's spread around the continent. That would be wonderful. That's just my 2 cents.
Godwin, I think that was more than 2 cents worth. That's Godwin Owinji. And Godwin was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye from New York City, where he's an international scout for the NBA's Brooklyn Nets team.
Sporty greetings. This is Godwin Owinji, co-founder of Giants of Africa, international scout with the Brooklyn Nets. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, listeners. I'm Flavia Namakula. I'm a professional lady golfer and also the national team coach, golf. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Here's something to crow about, Sunny Side of Sports listeners. Samson Omale is back with another extra spicy African sports package. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We'll begin the wrap of Africa's sport highlight for this weekend with Africa Premier Club Football Competition, the CAF Champions League. The first leg of the finals of the CAF Champions League will be played on Sunday as Egyptian giant Al Ahly will host Morocco's Wydad Athletic Club. The two clubs will meet again in Casablanca, Morocco on Sunday night, 11th of June 2023, in what promises to be a thrilling final. This is a repeat of last year's final, which saw Wydad triumph against Al Ahly. Michel Obi is the African president of the International Sports Press Association. Obi told the Sunny Side of Sports why these two teams will paint Africa football red this weekend.
What a weekend it is for the best of African football, the team of the century and the team of the moment. And think about their fans. Indeed, the joy of the final involving Al Ahly versus the current champions, Wydad of Casablanca, is all about the fans. And interestingly, red is their color. So we are looking ahead to a red letter weekend for the first leg and, of course, the return leg. Indeed, CAF Champions League final has returned to the double leg format. In the last 3 years, it went to a single match situation. And we saw what happened last year, when Wydad, out of the blue, hit Al Ahly at a time when they thought they had it all wrapped up. So we are looking at two teams that know each other, two teams tinged with a dose of revenge in their veins, and fans who want to really have a go at each other. Indeed, in Cairo all week, they've been talking about the number of fans that will get to the stadium. And they've pegged it at almost 50,000. You can imagine that kind of crowd. In Casablanca, it's going to be another story.
Can we have your prediction on who will likely lift the trophy after these two legs?
If you ask me, Al Ahly with the first leg will want to really get to make an impression. But don't take anything away from Wydad Casablanca. This time, I think the team of the century may have the last laugh. But that depends on exactly what happens this Saturday or this weekend, this Sunday, because Saturday is also the final of the Confederations Cup, in which USM of Algiers will be consolidating on their first leg 2-1 win away against Nyanga of Tanzania.
As many as 50,000 home supporters will be allowed to attend the first leg of the CAF Champions League final between Al Ahly of Egypt and Wydad Casablanca of Morocco. Now to the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. The Flying Eagles of Nigeria are the only country left from Africa at the ongoing FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Argentina. The Flying Eagles of Nigeria will play Korea in the quarterfinals on Sunday after they dispatched the host Argentina on Thursday night following their 2-0 victory over the host nation. Second-half goals from Ibrahim Mohamed and Haliru Seriki saw the Flying Eagles cruising into the last eight in style at the expense of Argentina at the San Juan Stadium. Coach Ladan Bozo said the victory over the host was expected, as the victory will boost the confidence of his side ahead of their quarterfinal fixture against the Korea Republic.
We had a game plan against Argentina. We sticked on our game plan and we got it right. As far as I'm concerned, I think all the results I've seen so far, these are all expected end. Because I believe in Egypt, we beat the Egypt team to deny them from qualification. In Niger, we beat the Niger team in one of the matches we played in Niger. And here, beating Argentina is not a new thing.
Tunisia's national under-20 soccer team were knocked out of the round of 16 after losing 4-1 to their Brazilian counterpart, while Gambia, the other African representative, were also kicked out of the competition after they lost 1-0 to South American side Uruguay. In women age grade competition news, the Ghana Under-20 ladies team, the Black Princesses, will play the Falconets of Nigeria in the final of the maiden edition of the WAFU Zone B Under-20 Girls Cup of Nations, which has been held in Kumasi, Ghana. Ghana qualified for the final after beating Burkina Faso 3-1 in the semifinals, while Nigeria defeated Benin Republic 3-0. Yusuf Basigi is the Black Princesses' head coach.
We are not putting pressure on the girls. And then every match and a static ploy. We've seen the Nigerians play, and we know how they play. They have also seen us play. So we are going to also map up our strategy, just in as much as they are also, because they were also here to watch us. So we are all going to map up our strategies, but you shouldn't see the way they play, because if you look at the group stages, our group is very tough. So there's no wonder, even though you are not seeing us scoring many goals, and then, but all the same, you will see that we create a lot of scoring chances.
In athletics, a total of 58 athletes have been included in the Athletics South Africa preliminary team and preparation squad in the build-up to the 2023 World Athletics Championships to be held in Budapest, Hungary, between the 19th to the 27th of August. The preliminary team, which consists of athletes who have automatically qualified by entry standard, features 10 athletes in individual events, as well as the South Africa men's 4x100m relay team. In netball news, the Uganda national netball team, the She Cranes, will enter a residential camp this Sunday in a bid to intensify training ahead of the forthcoming Vitality Netball World Cup. Only 20 out of the 30 players Elias summoned will join the residential camp. Head coach Fred Mugwera says performance on this plane will determine the players he will select for residential training.
Yeah, we are basing on the performance, individual performance, and in a particular position, because when we go to the camp, we shall need the people according to their positions, their play, and that's what we are going to base on, and also how they are performed in that particular position.
And now to basketball. The organizers of the 2024 Women Afro-CAN and Afro-Basketball Qualifier has announced Ivory Coast as the host country for the event. For the Afro-CAN, which will take place at the Palau Dispor, will have Nigeria face Guinea, and Benin will will take on Ivory Coast. The participating countries will face off in a home and away tournament format. The Ivorian capital will host the combined African qualifiers and the Afro Basket Women 2023 from June 30th to July 2nd, 2023. In tennis news, Tunisian's Ons Jabeur has advanced to the third round of the French Open after defeating France's Océane Dodin 6-2, 6-3 at a second-round game on Thursday afternoon. Jabeur had qualified for the second round on Tuesday after a win over Italy's Lucia Bronzetti in straight sets.
Yeah, I think it was a great match for me. I managed with the conditions, with the wind, and with someone that hits very hard. And, you know, hope I can continue playing even better for the next matches.
Seven-time Grand Slam champion, the legendary John McEnroe, gives his reaction to Ons Jabeur's win in the second round.
Well, you know, that's why I love Jabeur, because, you know, I didn't blow too many players off the court myself. I wasn't a real big hitter, but I felt like I had some pretty good touch. I use it more in net than she does. She uses the drop shot more. You know, it used to be in my day, and it sort of is still now, that if you drop shot off a return, that's a pretty big insult. But Jabeur uses it pretty frequently and rather effectively, so I'm sure it gets under the skin of her opponents. But obviously on the court, because it's so dry and slippery, that's a great play. So Jabeur, let's hope she's 100% healthy.
In the men's doubles, South African duo of Lloyd Harris and Ravin Klassen lost in the first round of the French Open men's doubles on Thursday. Harris and Klassen went down 7-5, 6-2 to Spanish pair of Roberto Cabales Urbena and Juan Munar.
Thanks, Samson. As Samson Omale mentioned, Nigeria's Flying Eagles will play South Korea Sunday in a quarterfinal match at the FIFA Under 20 World Cup in Argentina. In another quarterfinal match on Sunday, the USA will meet Uruguay. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the American boys. They finished atop Group B with the maximum 9 points, and they were the only team not to concede a goal in group play. Go USA! In quarterfinal matches Saturday at the FIFA Under 20 World Cup, Israel will play Brazil and Colombia will challenge Italy.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt. Usain Bolt this week celebrated the 15th anniversary of his first world record in the 100 meters set in 2008. Now, 6 years after his retirement from track and field, the Jamaican star says he's desperate to play a role in reviving the sport. VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Legendary Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt was a dominant force in track and field during his illustrious near-decade-long career. Famously known for his lightning bolt pose, the sprint star still holds the world record in both the 100 and 200 meters. He's an 8-time Olympic gold medalist and the most decorated male athlete of all time. time at the World Championships. Bolt left the sport in 2017, and since his retirement, he says he's found plenty to do to keep himself busy. But now he wants to find a pathway back into the sport. During an interview this week in Mexico City, Bolt told Reuters News he's reached out to World Athletics with the hope of reviving track and field that he says is on the decline.
Living up to mainly family, spending family time. When it comes to track and field, not as much as I would want to. I still try to stay in touch when watching what's going on, but I'm still waiting on a position from the IAAF. I've put out to them and let them know that I would love to make a bigger impact in sports as long as they want me to. So we've been in talks, but I have to wait and see what comes around.
In his era, Bolt transformed the sport with his lightning speed and charismatic personality. He acknowledges that his star power made a huge impact on the sport and sees signs that the charisma gap will soon be filled in the next generation of athletes.
After me, it kind of went down because of how I was as a person and my personality. And how big my personality was. But I think over time it will get better. I think younger athletes are coming up. I've seen a few personalities. Now Eliza is a personality that really is needed in the sport. So hopefully in the upcoming years it will change.
One athlete who has drawn a comparison to Usain Bolt is American sprinter Noah Lyles, another natural showman who hopes his personality and speed will give track and field a boost in popularity. Earlier this year, Lyles reaffirmed his intentions to break Bolt's long-standing world record times after he ran a personal best in the 60 meters. And Usain Bolt says he's keeping an eye on two more athletes who are closer to home, Jamaican sprinters Oblique Seville and Akeem Blake.
I think we have a few prospects that will come out. I think last year at the championship, Seville came fourth, so I was very impressed. And then there's a young kid right now called also Blake, which is also stepping up. So I think that's a good start, you know what I mean? And hopefully these two will motivate other youngsters to want to step up and want to train harder and want to dedicate themselves to really the sports and doing better.
Bolt is banking on the success of Seville and Blake at the upcoming World Athletics Championships, where the men of Jamaica have failed to win a single track gold medal in the last two competitions. However, Jamaica have dominated the track in the women's sprints. This year, 36-year-old frontrunner Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce will chase down a record-extending sixth World 100-meter title. And you Usain Bolt says he'll be cheering her on.
For me, it's always the ladies, you know what I mean? I follow Shelly a lot because we came through the same era. So to see her continue sprinting and coming back from having a child, for me, that's impressive. So I tried to follow her career. So I'm really excited to see how this season will go and if she's going to continue until next season.
Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce and other stars and champions of track and field will compete at the upcoming World Championships. The week-long event runs from August 19th through the 27th in Budapest, Hungary. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the June 2nd edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend. I'm from VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.